الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we continue, brothers in Islam, with the explanation of العقيدة الوسطية. In particular, we dealt last week with some of the ayat dealing with Allah's transcendency, or must be more accurate, Allah's rising over or above the throne. And we used two verses so far, and the Shaykh rahimahullah had went into the intricate details of why this is the position held by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He then went on to provide us with the arguments that are used by the Asha'ira and those who do not follow the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and how they justify their negation of this quality due to some other logical arguments, and how we kind of bombed these ideas from the ground up and left nothing for them to base their arguments on. So it's a concluded discussion which cannot be refuted unless one is following desires. Otherwise, in terms of textual evidence, logic, and the understanding of the deen in totality, then it makes sense that Allah Azza wa Jal is, as He said in the Quran, in seven different occasions, istawa ala al-arsh. And these seven occasions, for your information, are Surah Al-A'raf, Surah Yunus, Surah Ar-Ra'd, Surah Taha, Furqan, Sajda, and Al-Hadid. We will enumerate them one by one. We've already dealt with two. Al-Mawdi'u al-Thalith, the third ayah where this was mentioned, في سورة الرعد. This was سورة الرعد. قال الله تعالى, which is the third, for سورة أعراف, verse 54, Yunus, verse 3, and now الرعد, verse 2. قال الله تعالى, الله الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها, شكرا, ثم استوى على العرش. Allah is He who raised the heavens with pillars that you cannot see. That's one interpretation. Or with invisible pillars. We will see. Then He rose over the throne. طيب. Now, the Shaykh goes on to explain. رفع السماوات بغير عمد. He raised the sky or the skies without any pillars. بغير عمد, which is without any pillars. هل يعني ليس لها عمد مطلقا? Does that mean that it does not have pillars, period? It doesn't have pillars. أو لها عمد لكنه غير مرئية لنا. Or it has pillars but it is invisible to us. So either the ayah means there are no pillars. He raised the heavens with no pillars, which is amazing, because anything that you see is risen, there must be something that is keeping it in that state. There must be some pillars somewhere, some construction. So it could be the miracle of it is that the heavens are above and there's no pillars that are keeping them there. Or the other interpretation, there are pillars, however, we do not see them. So either way, it's miraculous. Now the Shaykh will explain. فيه خلاف بين المفسرين. This particular teaching, the scholars of those who interpret the meaning of the Quran have differed. Excuse me concerning this. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالْ. Among them are those who said, إِنَّ جُمْلَةَ تَرَوْنَهَا صِفَةٌ لِعَمَدٍ أي بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ مَرْئِيَّةٍ لَكُمْ. They said, تَرَوْنَهَا, that sentence, right, that verbal phrase if you want to call it, is an attribute or is an adjective for عَمَد, the pillars. Meaning, the تَرَوْنَهَا, you see it, is an adjective for the pillars. أي بغير عمد مرئية لكم. Then the meaning becomes with pillars that are not visible to you. There are pillars which you cannot see. ولا عمد غير مرئية. And it has pillars that are not seen, invisible. ومنهم من قال. And others have said, إن جملة ترونها جملة مستأنفة. The word, the جملة, the sentence, the verbal phrase, تَرَوْنَهَا, you see it, is actually the initiation of a new sentence. It is not connected with the previous one. مَعْنَاهَا تَرَوْنَهَا كَذَلِكَ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ. Meaning you see it also without it having any pillars. It doesn't have any pillars, and you see that it does not have any pillars. وَهَذَا الْأَخِيرُ أَقْرَبُ. The Shaykh said the latter explanation is the one closer to the correct opinion. فإن السماوات ليس لها عمد مرئية ولا غير مرئية. The heavens do not have pillars. Period. Visible or invisible. It does not have any pillars. ولو كان لها عمد لكانت مرئية في الغالب. Had it had some pillars, it would have probably been visible. وإن كان الله تعالى قد يحجب عنا بعض المخلوقات الجسمية لحكمة يريدها. Even though Allah may at times conceal from us the ability to see something physical for some wisdom that Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, knows about. So anyways, this is the various interpretation. The closer meaning is that there are no pillars, period. Yani Allah raised the heavens without pillars, and you see that it doesn't have any pillars, and not that it is without any pillars that you can see. You see, ajeeb the Quran. Ala kulli hal, wa qawluhu thumma istawa ala al-arsh, then he rose over the throne or above the throne. هذا الشاهد. This is the point of emphasis here. ويقال في معناها ما سبق. And we explain it in a manner similar to the one we did before. Those who missed them, then you can refer back to the audio files, inshallah ta'ala. Because it was very, very intricate, very, very technical, and very, very delightful. Because we just, you know, the Shaykh was handling business. Rahmatullah alayh. الموضوع الرابع, the fourth quotation, where istiwa was mentioned in the Quran, في سورة طه. قال الرحمن على العرش استوى. The most merciful or the most gracious or the most beneficent, however you like to translate that, rose above the throne. استوى على العرش, أو على العرش استوى in this case. Here قدم على العرش وهو معمول لاستوى. Usually it is استوى على العرش. In this ayah, على العرش استوى. The Shaykh said this was done in such a way to indicate exclusivity, لإفادة الحصر والتخصيص, meaning specifying and making it exclusive that Allah Azza wa Jal only rose above the throne. Surah verse 5. وبيان أنه سبحانه وتعالى لم يستوي على شيء سوى العرش. And it's an indication that Allah rose above nothing except the throne, because that's the only thing that has been mentioned. And the format used, which is known as حصر, exclusivity, confinement to that particular statement, to one thing. Who can give us a similar example in the Quran where that which is supposed to be delayed has been brought forward in order to indicate exclusivity to that thing? And I've mentioned this many times before. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Linguistically, you could have said نَعْبُدُكَ وَحْدَكَ, we worship you alone. وَنَسْتَعِينُ بِكْ, and we seek aid from you. But the way it came is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ, it is only you we worship. What does that indicate? Exclusivity, meaning we worship none but you, right? It doesn't really exist in the English language in the same format, but it may be understood in the same format. Example, if I say I'm going to Danube tonight, okay? I always use Danube, man. People think I work for the company, or I'm, you know, I need to get off this Danube stuff. But it's across the street from me, and that's where I shop. I try, marhaba, la marhaba bikum, Allah yahdihum, adhu marhaba, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Don't remind me of marhaba. Anyways, the manush is 4 riyals, ya Sheikh. Tayyib. So, yeah, in the English language, right, it is not really the same, but let's assume it is the same. If I were to say I'm going to X supermarket tonight, then, you know, I may go a number of places, and among the places which I will visit will be the supermarket. But if I said to the supermarket I'm going, the way I'm saying this kind of indicates that this is my priority now. Right? Now, again, this really may not really exist in the English language. It's my own fabrication. I fabricate a lot in the language since I'm not a native speaker. So when you're not a native speaker, you get to do whatever you like. And whoever doesn't like it, Allah musta'an. But in the Arabic language, this is the case. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, that is exclusivity. And in this particular ayah, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, the most merciful, above the throne, he rose. Which indicates exclusivity to the throne and nothing else. طيب. وفي ذكر الرحمن إشارة إلى أنه مع علوه وعظمته موصوف بالرحمة. The fact that the context, this ayah, when Allah spoke about the transcendency or being above the throne, He mentioned or He used the attribute of what? Ar-Rahman. to indicate that even though Allah Azza wa Jal is above and Allah Azza wa Jal is magnificent and almighty, however that authority which He has is that of mercy. There's no oppression, there's no injustice, there's no so on and so forth. So it is rahmah at the end of the day. Of course the kuffar act as if they are in no need of it, and so they consequently get no rahmah because they don't want any rahmah. Otherwise Allah Azza wa Jal gave everyone a chance at some point in their lives to recognize the truth and follow it accordingly. Tayyib. So that does with the fourth quotation. Al-Mawdi' al-Khamis, the fifth quotation in the Quran. Fi Surah al-Furqan, the criterion. قوله ثم استوى على العرش الرحمن verse 59 Surah Al-Furqan verse 59. Then he rose over the throne, the most beneficent or the most merciful. Here again there's a difference in sequence. عليكم السلام. الرحمن فاعل استوى. طيب الموضع السادس في سورة ألف لام ميم السجدة. It's not Surah Al-Sajda. It's known as Alif Lam Mim Sajda or As Sajda. And when is it the Sunnah to recite this chapter, ya brothers?
Before you go to bed.
Yeah, very abandoned Sunnah nowadays. Allahu Alam, how many people practice it? But what else? When else? Aywa, Salat al-Fajr on Yom al-Jumu'ah. And it is not from the Sunnah what many people do. They recite the first half in the first rak'ah and the second half in the second rak'ah. Right? They think that they're trying to bring in a relation between the Sunnah. And it's incorrect. Rather, Ibn Qayyim and others were very tough with whoever tried to have this approach. The Sunnah indicates that in the first rak'ah you should recite Surah Sajda and the second one Surah al-Insan. Right, and so this is the sunnah, and you don't divide it into two rak'at as it is done in this day and time. This is not from the sunnah. طيب الموضع السادس إذن في سورة ألف لام ميم السجدة قال الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. Excuse me. Allah is He who has created the heavens and the earth and everything between them in 6 days. Then He rose over the throne. 6 days. What was the first day?
Sunday.
And the last day?
Friday.
Are you sure? Good. Did Allah rest on the seventh?
No.
Who believes that? The Christians. In Genesis, they say that God created the heavens and the earth. And then He had to rest, to refresh actually. The term used in one of the biblical verses is, He had to refresh Himself. It's like recuperating in order to continue. This is nonsense. This is human attributes. This is fatigue, which Allah Azza wa Jal negated to Himself. He said, وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And no fatigue, no tiredness ever touched Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, but the wisdom of Allah entailed that He creates the heavens and the earth in 6 days. طيب جميل. نقول فيها مثل ما قلنا في آيتي الأعراف ويونس. We say concerning this ayah, something similar to what we said in the two ayat in Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Yunus. لكن هنا فيها زيادة. However, we have an addition here. وما بينهما يعني بين السماء والأرض. And what is between them, meaning between the heavens and the earth, was included. والذي بينهما مخلوقات عظيمة استحقت أن تكون معادلة للسماوات والأرض. In fact, what is between the heavens and the earth are tremendous, great creations that deserve to be equated or equal to the heavens and the earth. وهذه المخلوقات العظيمة منها ما هو معلوم لنا. And these great creations of Allah, among them are those which we know, كالشمس والقمر والنجوم والسحاب, such as the sun and the moon and the stars and the clouds. ومنها ما هو مجهول إلى الآن. And amongst them are those which are unknown to us up until today. And the more they expand out into the universe and, you know, they develop more sophisticated machinery to see what's going on outside, the more it gets, you know, amazing how tiny this galaxy we're living in is in comparison to the rest. And Allah knows what we don't know. طيب الموضع السابع, the seventh then and the last, في سورة الحديد, the iron. قال هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. It is He, excuse me, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then He rose above the throne. The Shaykh said, رحمه الله, فهذه سبعة مواضع. These are seven quotations, seven different places where the istiwa was mentioned in the Quran in the clearest of ways. كلها يذكر الله تعالى فيها الاستواء معدبي على. each one of them, Allah mentioned istiwa, preceded by the preposition ala, which is on, above, over, right? And then he will go into some details here. So pay attention, inshallah. وبعد فقد قال العلماء عفوا إن أصل هذه المادة سين واو ياء تدل على الكمال الذي خلق فسوى. The base word of this word, which is seen, wawiya, the combination of these three letters, it indicates itself perfection, the state of completeness or perfection. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَى, the one who created and proportioned. It's a proportion, creation, perfection, something along these lines. أَيْ أَكْمَلَ مَا خَلَقَ, meaning he completed and he perfected what he created. فَأَصْلُ السِّينَ وَالْوَاوُ الْيَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى الْكَمَالِ. So then, the linguistically speaking, the seen and the waw and the ya, they indicate perfection. This is relevant. ثم هي على أربعة وجوه, على أربعة أوجه عفوا في اللغة العربية. Then this word is, it comes in four different situations in the Arabic language. معدات بإلى, either preceded by إلى. استوى عفواً معدات لا is followed with إلى, ومعدات بعلى, or it is followed with the preposition على. إلى meaning to, right? على meaning on, over, above. ومقرونة بالواو, or it is accompanied with the conjunction واو, and ومجردة, or it is independent, doesn't have anything attached to it. فالمعدات بعلى مثل العرش ومعناها على واستقر. The first meaning, استوى على, we said that means to rise and to استقرار, we said is what? Yeah, I cannot recall the word. استقرى, we said subhanallah, settling, there you go, settling. And we said this is the linguistic meaning, however we don't go to the extent that we say we confirm this as an attribute to Allah, but we say linguistically that's what it means. Ala wa istaqar, na'am, alhamdulillah. Fawal mu'addatu bi ila, and the one that is followed with ila, mithil qawlihi ta'ala thumma istawa ila as-sama'i fasawwahunna sab'a samawat. Then he, Allah azza wa jal, rose over towards the heavens and he made them seven heavens. فَهَلْ مَعْنَاهَا كَالْأُولَى بِالْمُعَدَّاتِ بِعَلَى. Then is it the same now when we say استوى إلى? Is it equal in meaning to استوى على? Are they equal? The Shaykh will elaborate. فِيهَا خِلَافٌ بَيْنَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ. There's a difference of opinion among the مُفَسِّرِينَ. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَالْ إِنَّ مَعْنَاهُمَا وَاحِدٌ. Among them are those who said the meaning is one and the same. وهذا ظاهر تفسير ابن جرير رحمه الله. This is the what you understand from the apparent interpretation of Ibn Jarir رحمه الله. فمعنى استوى إلى السماء أي ارتفع إليها, meaning he rose above the heavens. That is what is intended by the ayah. ومنهم من قال بل الاستواء هنا بمعنى القصد الكامل. And others say that what is intended here, that Allah عز وجل intended here and having the complete intention to direct his complete intention or attention, عفوان, his complete attention towards the heavens. This is another tafsir. بمعنى استوى إليها أي قصد إليها قصدا كاملا, meaning Allah had the full intention to direct himself عز وجل towards the heavens. وأيدوا تفسيرهم هذا بأنه عديت بما يدل على هذا المعنى. And they backed up their position by saying that it has been, the word that followed it indicates this meaning. وهي إلى, towards. وإلى هذا ذهب ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى. And this is the position of ابن كثير رحمه الله. ففسر قوله استوى إلى السماء أي قصد إلى السماء, meaning Allah عز وجل, he turned his intention towards the heavens. والاستواء هنا مضمن معنى القصد والإقبال, أو مضمن معنى القصد والإقبال, لأنه عدي بإلى, انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. And استواء here means that it understood in the context is intent and directing towards, right? And this is the because it has been followed with the preposition ila. This is one difference that the ulama have. This is the end of the quotation from Ibn Kathir rahimahullah. والمقرونة بالواو كقولهم استوى الماء والخشبة بمعنى تساوى الماء والخشبة. When it comes with a wow in between them, it means when two things have become even. The wood and the water, they were at equal levels. This is one meaning when it has the conjunction wow. والمجرد كقوله تعالى ولما بلغ أشده واستوى ومعناها كمل. And the last one when it comes on its own, and when he, Musa, meaning attained his full strength, and then he reached maturity. It's like the meaning of maturity. So these are the four meanings. Either استوى, that comes after استوى, there's على. And we said this is known, agreed upon, rising over, rising above. استوى إلى, some of them said it means just like استوى على. Or it means that to direct one's full attention towards something. Or it comes with a wow, and that means that two things have become at even levels. Or it's alone, استوى without wow, without إلى, without على. Which means to reach the state of maturity. Right? Kamal, perfection. And to reach the age of one being discretion, if you may say. حسناً. The Shaykh said, تنبيه. Note. إِذَا قُلْنَا إِسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ بِمَعْنَى عَلَى فَهَا هُنَا سُؤَالٌ وَهُوَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ فَهَلْ يَسْتَلْزِمْ أَنَّهُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ لَيْسَ عَالِيًا. He said, we have to make a point here. If we say that Allah Azza wa Jal rose over the throne, right? Meaning He rose over the throne. Stawa meaning rose over the throne. There's a question that one may ask. If Allah Azza wa Jal created the heavens first, then Allah rose over the throne. Does that mean that prior to that creation, He was not above? Right? Because we said, ثُمَّ indicates what? Sequence of events. They're not happening simultaneously. They're happening consecutively, one after the other. خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ إِسْتَوَى. Then He rose above the throne. Okay, so now one may ask, are you trying to indicate or entail that since the creation of the heavens and the earth came at a particular time, then that means during that time Allah was not in the state of transcendency? Because He said, then He rose over the throne. فَالْجَوَابْ لَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ ذَلِكَ. No, this is not necessary to say that or to believe that. لِأَنَّ الْإِسْتِوَاءَ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ أَخَصٌ مِنْ مُطْلَقِ الْعُلُوُ. Because rising over the throne is more specific than the general understanding of transcendency, which is highness or being above. There are two separate matters here. Rising over the throne is something particular. But being in a state of transcendency has ever been the case. Always and forever Allah Azza wa Jal is above His creation. لأن الاستواء على العرش علو خاص به. Rising above a throne is specific to Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. والعلو شامل على جميع المخلوقات. Whereas being in the state of transcendency is in reference or in relation to all of the creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. فعلوه عز وجل ثابت له أزلا وأبدا. So His state of transcendency is something we affirm to Allah always and forever. It has always existed as the remaining attributes of Allah. ولم يزل عاليا على كل شيء قبل أن يخلق العرش. And Allah has ever been in the state of transcendency before He even created the throne, right? ولا يلزم من عدم استواء العرش عدم علوه. The fact that Allah was not above the throne at some stage does not mean that He was not in the state of transcendency. I hope that you're not getting confused here. بل هو عال, rather He is high عز وجل. ثم بعد خلق السماوات والأرض على علوا خاصا على العرش. Then after Allah created the heavens and the earth, He rose in a particular manner above the throne. Okay, and this manner is unknown to us, right? ليس كمثله شيء. There's nothing like Allah. But there's a specific rising relevant to the throne, unlike the initial transcendency which Allah عز وجل has always had. Right. فإن قلت نفهم من الآية الكريمة أنه حين خلق السماوات والأرض ليس مستويا على العرش لكن قبل خلق السماوات والأرض هل هو مستوى على العرش أو لا؟ The one will say, if you say, we understand, يرحمك الله, we understand from the noble verse that when Allah created the heavens and the earth, He was not above His throne. But before He created the heavens and the earth, was He above the throne or not? فالجواب الله أعلم بذلك. Allah knows best concerning that. فإن قلت هل استواء الله تعالى على عرشه من الصفات الفعلية أو الذاتية. Remember that? If you ask, Allah is rising above His throne, is it one of the active attributes of Allah or the personal attributes of Allah? إنه من الصفات الفعلية. Why? لأنه يتعلق بمشيئته. Because it has to do with Allah's will and intent. And this is personal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وكل صفة تتعلق بمشيئته فهي من الصفات الفعلية. Know this rule. Every attribute which is relevant to Allah's will, it has to do with Allah's will, what He wills عز وجل, then it is from the active attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So that concludes the chapter dealing with الاستواء على العرش. This, my brothers in Islam, belief system which Allah has blessed us with to understand and convey, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, all of us, I mean, I'm not speaking about myself, is very unpopular today among the Muslims in the world. You'll be shocked how many people are, they feel that this is repulsive, reprehensible. If you were to bring this to them, they think the most outrageous thoughts concerning one who believes in this sound, logical, based on textual evidences belief system. That of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the A'imma, the scholars, the A'imma of the Madhahib, and so on and so forth. This was their belief system. And if you don't believe me, go to the book, refer to the book of Imam al-Dhahabi. It's called Al-Ulu Lil-Aziz Al-Ghaffar, right? The transcendency for Allah, the Aziz, the Almighty, Al-Ghaffar, the Most Forgiving. And there's an introduction, there's a summarized version with the introduction of Sheikh Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, where he really, يعني, he breaks it down in the most comprehensive way, this issue of our belief and the differences that we have among the Ummah. So we need to hold fast to this belief system. We need to understand it properly. We need to educate our children concerning it. And we need to convey it to those around us with wisdom and good preaching. Our family members predominantly may not believe what you believe now. However, they have the right to learn the correct religion. So one way or another, we try to bring this information to them so they may be upon a belief system which is pleasing to Allah. Right? We cannot afford to believe other than this. This is not a matter of fiqh issue where, well, I follow this opinion, you follow that opinion. This is something that there should be no room for difference. Even though people differed, it is something that is from the fundamentals of the deen. Something that Musa taught Fir'aun. So much so that Fir'aun wanted to go to the heavens to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, come on. We cannot afford to have Fir'aun understanding something that we don't. Right? So I hope this makes it clear. This leads us to the second, or the following, the next chapter. إِثْبَاتُ عُلُوِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ. Affirming Allah's transcendency over the creation, or over His creation. الشرح, the exposition or the explanation. ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله في إثبات علو الله على خلقه ست آيات. The author, who's the author of this book? Who's the author of this book? Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. What was his kunya? No one knows that one, huh? Abu al-Abbas. Remember, Abu al-Abbas. Hey. Sheikh al-Islam, we love him for the sake of Allah. He mentioned six ayat, six verses to affirm the quality of transcendency. We said ulu is transcendency. It's a little technical, but that's the accurate translation, inshallah. Al-ayatul ula. First, قوله, Allah's statement in Surah Al-Imran, verse 55. Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilay. O Isa, who's Isa? What's his name in English?
Jesus.
In Spanish? You know, no, there's no in Canada, then no Mexicans?
French and English.
No Spanish people, huh? Jesus, usually in Spanish they say Jesus. They usually don't pronounce the J. Even the X, like Mexico is Mexico. Anyways, that's a whole other story. Al-Imran, verse 55. O Jesus, or O Isa, I will, now here we have the issue with the word, you like that one? Mutawafiq. When we will go with the breakdown. But for now, I will take you. وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيْهِ, and I will raise you up to myself. The Sheikh said, الخطاب لعيسى بن مريم عليه السلام الذي خلقه الله من أم بلا أب. This here, Allah is addressing Isa, the son of Mary, عليه السلام, peace be upon him, whom Allah created with a mother or from a mother without a father. ولهذا ينسب إلى أمه فيقال عيسى بن مريم. This is why he is referred back to his mother, Jesus, the son of Mary. يقول الله إني متوفيك. ذكر العلماء فيها ثلاثة أقوال. I shall متوفيك. We will see. There are three interpretations for this particular ayah. القول الأول متوفيك يعني قابدك. قابضك. ومنه قولهم توفى حقه أي قبضه. The first meaning, the first interpretation of this statement is قبض is like taken a hold of something. Taken a hold of something. So they say, for example, in the Arabs, توفى حقه, meaning he was able to extract his rights fully. He was able to take his right, like قبض. Even when سنت قبض, when you pay and you know you receive your payment, your salary, it's considered to be قبض, something that you are extracting fully as your right. Right, something that you are taking in this particular fashion. That's one interpretation. والقول الثاني متوفيك أي منيمك أو منيمك. The other interpretation متوفيك means I shall cause you to sleep. And there is an evidence for that. لأن النوم وفات. Because sleeping is a form of death. كما قال تعالى وهو الذي يتوفاكم بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنهار ثم يبعثكم فيه ليقضى أجل مسمى. It is he who causes you, who takes your soul by night. Okay, he takes the souls. متوفي, he said يتوفاكم, right? بالليل ويعلم ما جرحتم بالنار, and he knows what you have earned throughout the day. ثم يبعثكم, then he sends you forth so you may live until an appointed time. So the ayah mentions that Allah used the word يتوفاكم, right? At night, we know that you're not dying at night, you're still alive, and the evidence is that the later part at the end of the ayah says then he will send you forth in the morning so you can go about doing your business. So one of the meanings of the word يتوفى is to sleep. And it doesn't mean death, because the asal is, it means death. والقول بأن متوفيك متوفيك بمعنى مميتك بعيد. عفوا, القول الثالث أنه وفاة موت. The third explanation that it means death. It means death. متوفيك أي مميتك, meaning I will cause you to die. ومنه قول تعالى الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها. And Allah says in the Quran, it is Allah who takes the souls away, يعني in their sleep, so they may die, right? Like some of the people who die in their sleep. طيب, the Sheikh said, وَالْقَوْلُ بِأَنَّ مُتَوَفِّيكَ مُتَوَفِّيكَ بِمَعْنَ مُمِيتُكَ بَعِيدٌ. We have three possible interpretations. The last one is far-fetched. That مُتَوَفِّيكَ means I shall cause you to die. Why? Why? Why is it far-fetched that this is the possible interpretation concerning Isa? Because he's alive. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Jesus is alive. That's our belief system. The only, as far as we know, the only messenger who didn't die is Jesus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up to himself. He remains alive up until now and will remain alive until the closer to the day of judgment, wherein he will come down, you know, in Damascus, as it comes in the narrations, with angels on the right and the left, and he will look as if his beard is moist. It will look as if there's water dripping from him, even though he does not have any contact with water, just the way he appeared, alayhi salatu salam. And he will come down like this. He will have an angel on the right and an angel on the left. When he will gesture with his head to go down, they will bring him down. And then he will go after the false Messiah, Al-Masih al-Dajjal, and he will kill him, and then there will be peace on earth, then the righteous people will die, then the evil people will remain, and the Qiyamah will actually take place on these people, you know, the most evil of creation who will remain behind. So we believe he's alive. So for this ayah to mean, I will cause you to die, now it becomes contradictory with what we know, that Isa never passed away. Zakallahu khairan. Ahsanta ya ayyuhal ghulam. you're almost a man, mashallah, tabarakallah, not even a ghulam. طيب, إذن it's بعيد لأن عيسى عليه السلام لم يموت, he did not pass away, he did not die. وسينزل في آخر الزمان, and he will come back at the end of time, or he will descend, excuse me. قال الله تعالى, وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته. And there is none from among the people of the scripture, except that they will believe in him before his death. Now again, there's a difference of opinion in interpreting this ayah. قبل موت عيسى عليه السلام على أحد القولين, meaning none of them except they will believe in him before he dies. وذلك إذا نزل في آخر الزمان, meaning when he comes at the end of time, they will see him, they will believe in him as the messenger of Allah. وقيل قبل موت الواحد, and it was said that it is before any Jew or Christian dies, they will come to know that Jesus was not God or the Son of God or God incarnate or one of the three in the Holy Trinity and all this man-made fabrications. يعني ما من أحد من أهل الكتاب إلا إذا حضرته الوفاة آمن بعيسى عليه السلام. There's none among the people of the book except that when death approaches them, except that they will believe that Jesus, they will believe in Jesus. حتى وإن كان يهوديا وهذا قول ضعيف. Even if he was a Jew, if he were a Jew, but the Sheikh said this is a weak interpretation. So then the strongest interpretation is that what? That the fact that Jesus, peace be upon him, that those who will see him during this time, they will come to know that he is not what the people have claimed. That he is a messenger of Allah, and he is a slave of Allah, and you know, nothing else as far as divinity is concerned. بقي النظر بين وفاة القبض ووفاة النوم. We still have an issue to look into the two possible interpretations. That we negated the last one, which is the fact that he died. So now we have either that he was, that Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, extracted him fully in his, without sleep, or that he caused him to sleep. Which one is it? فنقول إنه يمكن أن يجمع بينهما. We can bring a relation between both. فيكون قابدا له حال نومه, meaning Allah took him up to himself in the state of sleep while he was sleeping. أي أن الله تعالى ألقى عليه النوم, meaning Allah caused him to sleep as means of tranquility, as he did with the Muslims during the jihad. He sent down rain which caused them to be tired, you know, and so on and so forth. And this was mercy for them, because you know, at the time of war, the hearts are beating fast, and you know, you're just about to encounter the enemy. And so at that time, them being sleepy was means of relaxation for them. So that's one possible interpretation. ثم رفعه ولا منافاة بين الأمرين. Then Allah raised them up after he caused them to sleep first, and there's no contradiction between both interpretations. وقوله ورافعك إلي, and I will raise you up to myself. الشاهد هنا, the point of emphasis that we're looking for is here. فإن إلى تفيد الغاية. إلى as a preposition indicates what? Destination. I'm going to the store. This is my destination. To, in the language, ذهبت من البيت إلى المدرسة. I went from the house, from my house to the school. This is the destination. This is the point. This is the end, the غاية. وقوله رافعك إلي يدل على أن المرفوع إليه كان عاليا. And that indicates that the one whom he was raised to must have been high, because the destination is إلى. And the word here uses رافع, rising, raising you above. So the only possibility, if this is a destination إلى, and he's being risen, عليه الصلاة والسلام, then he is being risen above. Subhanallah. Unbelievable technicality in the Arabic language. وهذا يدل على علو الله عز وجل. This indicates Allah's transcendency, سبحانه وتعالى. فلو قال قائل المراد رفعك منزلة. What if someone said, what is intended is this in status, meaning Jesus was raised in his, he had a lofty status with Allah Azza wa Jal. كما قال الله تعالى وجيهاً في الدنيا والآخرة, meaning he's held in honor in this life and the life to come. ومن المقربين, and among those who will be brought near to Allah. قلنا هذا لا يستقيم. The Shaykh said this meaning, this interpretation is not sound. It cannot be rectified. لأن الرفع هنا عدي بحرف يختص بالرفع الذي هو الفوقية. Because raising here has been followed with a preposition which specifically means physical transcendency, being above physically and not in status. إلى does not support that. رفع الجسد وليس رفع المنزلة. The raising of the physical body and not in status. واعلم أن علو الله عز وجل ينقسم إلى قسمين: علو معنوي وعلو ذاتي. And know that Allah's transcendency is divided into two categories. علو معنوي, it's an abstract transcendency. وعلو ذاتي, it is personal transcendency. Personal meaning private or specific to Allah Himself Azza wa Jal. This is the ذاتي, that, oneself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And معنوي is the abstract one, which is the one in status, as we will see right now. أما العلو المعنوي, the abstract, فهو ثابت لله بإجماع أهل القبلة. War أهل القبلة, the Muslims, irrespective of their division, because whoever faces the Qibla, you know, then they are counted among the Muslims, even though they may have some issues, but they called Ahlul Qibla, meaning all those who face the Qibla, meaning the body of Muslims. Of course, there's a major differences among them. Where was I? Aywa. أي بالإجماع من أهل البدع وأهل السنة, meaning both the people of innovation and the people of sunnah affirm that Allah Azza wa Jal is you know, is high in status, right? Not that Allah Himself, in status. كلهم يؤمنون بأن الله تعالى عال علوا معنويا. All of them agree and believe that Allah has this kind of transcendency, you know, dealing with His status Azza wa Jal. فنبدأ وأما العلو الذاتي فيثبتها أهل السنة ولا يثبته أهل البدعة. As for the physical transcendency, then أهل السنة affirm it, whereas the أهل البدع or بدعة, the people of innovation, deny it. يقولون إن الله تعالى ليس عاليا علوا ذاتيا. They say Allah is not physically above or in the state of transcendency. فنبدأ أولا بأدلة أهل السنة على علو الله سبحانه وتعالى الذاتي. The Shaykh said, we will begin now by enumerating the evidences of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah which support Allah's personal physical transcendency. فنقول, so we say, إن أهل السنة استدلوا على علو الله تعالى علوا ذاتيا بالكتاب والسنة والإجماع والعقل والفطرة. We must memorize this. We've heard this already in the Khutab and other places. The Ahlul Sunnah, they use as evidences to prove Allah's physical transcendency five. We have five sources, akhi. Kitab. What is kitab? Any book? What book though? The Quran. It's called the kitab. We understand that we mean in this connotation the Quran. Was sunnah. In this case, it means the hadith or whatever we get from the hadith. It could be the Prophet ﷺ's statement, it could be his action or his acknowledgement or approval. Afwan. Well, ijma', what is ijma'? Consensus, which is basically the unanimous agreement of those or of all those who are to be taken into consideration. Because you may have some people who disagree, but we may not really care about their position, like the Shia and the Rafida. Who cares what they think? The Rafida will tell you that you may marry 9 women. You know why? You know why you may marry 9 women? No, they have a verse in the Quran. Our Quran. Allah says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. 2 and 3 and 4, 2 and 3, 5 and 4, 9. I said that's 9. The sunnah affirms that. So here you go. This is besides their mut'a, their, you know, their fornication disguised in temporary marriage.
So they can say okay, no, the last verse say Mahaliwan.
Huh?
Continuation of the
word. They might as well, you know, we get some of them mufassirin who do that. So we say, look, if we say the ulama agreed that what is intended by this ayah is 4 women strictly, now and the Shia came with their nonsense, these are not to be considered in the consensus of the Muslims, right? Stay aside, mind your business, go find your own ways of understanding things. This is crazy, man, these people are nuts. But they do this. They have wild, you know, some of them have been asked, the young one man is here, I'm not going to mention it. Allah musta'an. Ala kulli hal. So then, okay. Kitab, sunnah, fiqh, afwan, ijma', consensus, fiqh, aql. What is aql?
Intellect.
Intellect. Right. Logic. Wa al-fitra.
Natural disposition.
Natural disposition, mashallah. And it's very common among our brothers to say for zakat al-fitr, zakat al-fitra. And this is a major error. Okay, fitra is natural disposition. Zakat al-fitr, which is breaking the fast, you know, and that zakat is... So from now on, inshallah, no, don't use zakat al-fitra. It's zakat al-fitr. Okay? Allah musta'an. Because zakat al-fitra is, you know, cutting your nails and your hair. That's purifying your fitra, which, you know, the fitra is mustache, beard, and the whole nine yards. طيب. أولا, فالكتاب تنوع دلالته على علو الله. First, the Quran. There are a number of ways where the indication of Allah being above have been made in the Quran. فَتَارَةً بِذِكْرِ الْعُلُو. At times, it's clearly mentioned Allah being above. علو, transcendency. وَتَارَةً بِذِكْرِ الْفَوْقِيَّ. And other times, Allah mentions that He is above something. وَتَارَةً بِذِكْرِ نُزُولِ الْأَشْيَاءِ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ. Other times, Allah mentions things coming down from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَارَةً بِذِكْرِ صُعُودِهَا إِلَيْهِ. And other times, things right, going up to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَارَةً بِكَوْنِهِ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And at other times, Allah being above the heavens. Five ways in the Quran. Either clearly Allah says that He is above, or Allah mentions that He is above something in particular, or things coming down from Allah, or things going up to Allah, or Allah mentioning Him being above the heavens. Five. And we will give evidence for each, or the Shaykh will give evidence for each. I will narrate them to you. فالعلو مثل قوله وهو العلي العظيم. Being علو mentioned directly, such as Allah's statement at the end of Ayat al-Kursi, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He is the most high, the most great. And so this is Surah al-Baqarah 255. Then Surah al-A'la verse 1, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of your Lord, the most high. Al-A'la. And the ulama say, at times in the Arabic language, when that has been mentioned without the comparative or the superlative, there's no comparison to anything. It means it's in the ultimate sense. It becomes superlative because there's nothing being compared. You say Ahmad is taller than Rabi'ah. Ahmad is the tallest. In the English language, we don't have that. However, if nothing has been mentioned which is compared, nothing has been compared, then it becomes in the form of superlative, which is the most high. Is that clear? Right. This is the first. Second, al-fawqiyya. Allah says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. And He is the irresistible or the supreme. فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, above His slaves. فَوْق, above. Not فَوْق, فَوْق. فَوْق is slang, right. You know, we've murdered the language in terms of slang. So it's actually فَوْق. فَوْق الشيء, تحت الشيء, أو تحت الشيء. طيب. This was Surah Al-An'am, verse 18, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. And the other one, which is very clear, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. When Allah spoke about the angels, He said, they fear their Lord who is above them. They fear their Lord who is above them. The question comes, this is Surah Al-Nahl, verse 50. Where are the angels? Angels inhabit what? The heavens. Heavens. In the heavens. They may come down to earth when Allah sends them down because of tasks that they have been delegated with. However, where is the place of residency? Samawat. So when Allah says that they are afraid of Allah who is above them and they are in the heavens, that means Allah is above the heavens. Ajib. We cannot play with this one. Right? There's no escape. Thirdly, نزول الأشياء من, things descending from Allah. مثل أو coming down from Allah. مثل قوله يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض. Allah manages or regulates every affair from the heavens to the earth. Or Allah says إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر. Verily we have sent down the ذكر is the whole deen of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah and whatever maintains them. وما أشبه ذلك and whatever is similar to that. Fourthly, صعود الأشياء إليه, things going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things ascending to Allah. مثل قوله إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. To him ascends all the goodly words and the righteous deeds he raises up to himself. Again, the deeds go up to Allah. ومثل قوله تعرج الملائكة والروح, the angels and the ruh, which is Jibreel, ascend to him. And we have many different narrations that when the person, you know, gives a sadaqah or when you make dua, it goes up to the heaven, and then, you know, the qadr will be coming down, and they continue to kind of struggle in between until the day of judgment. The dua can change the qadr among the minor qadr. Because we have two levels of qadr. Al-Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet with Allah, which cannot be changed. In it, everything that Allah had decreed at the bottom line or at the ultimate end has been in the Lawhul Mahfuz. However, there's the other one, which is whatever Allah decrees throughout the year. This is the one that is done on Laylatul Qadr, given to the angels among the heavens. This is the one that may change. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever would like his life to be prolonged, his wealth to be increased, let him keep his kinship ties. How can your life be increased if it has been pre-decreed? Because this is among the things which may change upon or based on our actions. But the ultimate result is with Allah in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Is that clear? Wonderful. And with that, inshallah, we will stop. Or let me mention the last one. كونه في السماء مثل قوله أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض. This is in Surah Al-Mulk. Do you feel secure that he who is over the heavens, Allah himself, will cause the earth to shake or tremble under you? Right? So these are five different ways in the Quran where you have, beyond any shadow of doubt, the understanding that you get is that Allah is above. Again, if people start to question how and why, we say, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like unto him. Subhanallah, what are you asking about? You're not asking about your neighbor. This is Allah. Be quiet. Have some adab with Allah. Have some manners with Allah. Don't question him concerning something he did not reveal unto you. Meaning it's something that is not required of you to know. However, you are supposed to know what has been mentioned. Okay, so with that, inshallah, we conclude.